At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. I am your host, Spencer, and this is episode F212. Let us talk about so many free words. I'm still pretty tired. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. I need to get it warmed up. Did I do all my warm-ups, workouts? Okay, great. The first word in this episode is free. Oh, this is interesting. It looks like it's free marketeer or free marketer, because we had free market at the end of the previous episode. So this is a noun from 1954. It is a proponent of a free market economy. The free marketeers are kind of like the mouseketeers, because the mouseketeers were proponents of a Mickey Mouse and Disney economy, but the free marketeers are all about a free market economy. And now it is time to make a sound effect, which shall be... Now we have Free Martin. Free Martin. This is one word, though. It's not the name Martin, I guess. This is a noun from 1681. It's a sexually imperfect, usually sterile female calf, twin-born with a male. Woo! Okay, that was a lot of information. The origin of this word is unknown, so we don't know why they're using the term free Martin to describe a twin calf. So there was a boy calf and a girl calf, and they were born at the same time, and the female is sterile, usually sterile, and sexually imperfect? What is that word? What does that mean? Imperfect sexually, from a scientific standpoint, what does that mean? And it's a free Martin. Oh, this boggles the mind. Free Martin. Oh boy, if you have information on this word, why we're using this word, I would love to know. Thank you very much, and goodbye. Next is Freemason. The F is capitalized. This is a noun from 1646. It is a member of a major fraternal organization called Free and Accepted Masons, or Ancient Free and Accepted Masons, that has certain secret rituals. Okay, so the name of this organization, it looks like it has two names. Free and Accepted Masons. I guess that's one word, one name for it. The other name would be Ancient Free and Accepted Masons. So they just added the word ancient, because are they ancient rituals, ancient secret rituals being performed by the Freemasons? Why are they Masons? Are they building things with brick? Why are they free? What's the point of the free word? I don't know. Are these the ones that wear the fezzes? Let's look up Freemason. I can't keep my secret societies straight. Let's see. The Freemasons. fraternal organization with a history rooted in medieval stonemasons' guilds. It is the world's oldest and largest such organization, with millions of members worldwide. Well, I'm not a member. Freemasons are united by principles of brotherly love, relief, which is also charity, and truth. I mean, you know, seems like a good idea. Here, go to bafreemason.org so you can learn about being a good person. A Freemason is committed to bettering himself, his community, and the world. He is on a journey of self-discovery, believing in something greater than himself, a journey in which he will be supported by other good men. Become the best version of you. Answer the call. Begin the journey. Well, it sure seems like it's male-oriented. Oh, look, there's some men wearing skirts. I wonder, I don't know a lot about this. Oh, the Shriners, yes, they got the fezzes. Yep. Looks like their tagline is, not just a man, a Mason. S-O, and man becomes Mason. All right, well, if you're interested in that, you can go check that out. You probably gotta give them a lot of money. Maybe it's a religious thing. I'm not sure. I can't tell. I'm not going to join. Next is free masonry. Noun from 1730. Number one is capitalized. It is the principles, institutions, or practices of Freemasons. It is called also just masonry, not Freemasonry. Number two. Natural fellowship based on some common experience. So, if you go through the same experience with somebody and then you feel like you've developed a fellowship because of that, maybe you were both trapped in an elevator for 13 hours, then maybe you will have this Freemasonry, this natural fellowship with the other people in the elevator. Now we have free on board, three words, adverb or adjective, from 1668. This is without charge for delivery to and placing on board a carrier at a specified point. We had another free one that was odd like this. Was it regular freeboard? Yeah. Well, that's freeboard, which is the distance between the water and the top of the boat. So I wonder if this is related to that. This is free on board, without charge, so no money, it's free, for delivery to and placing on board a carrier at a specified point. Hey, go deliver this thing for me on the boat, and I don't have to pay any money? I don't understand what the purpose of this is. Okay, moving on to free port. Two words, noun, from 1711. An enclosed port or section of a port where goods are received and shipped free of customs duty. So for some reason at these ports or these parts of ports, you can deliver stuff, you can receive stuff, ship stuff, and you don't have to pay a duty, a tax, so it's a free port. Hey, let's go down to the free port, get some free goods. Well, they're not free. We just don't have to pay taxes. Now we have freer. F-R-E-E-R. It says it's a comparative of the word free. Freer, free. Well, there's a lot of definitions for the word free, so I guess you could replace some of them with freer, possibly, maybe. I'm not sure. Now we have free radical. Two words, noun from 1900, and we have a long definition. An especially reactive atom or group of atoms that has one or more unpaired electrons. So that's the main definition, but now we have especially, specifically, especially, one that is produced in the body by natural biological processes or introduced from an outside source, and that can damage cells, proteins and DNA by altering their chemical structure. Whoa. And examples of the outside source putting this free radical into the body, examples of those would be tobacco smoke, toxins, or pollutants. So any of those things, if you're smoking the tobacco, you know, you're hanging out with some toxins, there's some pollutants in the air, like all of the nasty gaseous stuff that comes out of cars, those would be pollutants. So this free radical, it's a reactive atom or group of atoms that has one or more unpaired electrons. So that's the thing. It's the unpaired electrons, I think, that makes it free. Because we had something else that was sort of scientific-y like this in the last couple of episodes. It was free something, but anyway, it's a concept that I don't understand, and you don't want them in you. I mean, they could be naturally occurring, it says, but any of the outside sources ones, maybe try to stay away from the, you know, the tobacco smoke, the toxins, the pollutants, because they could damage your cells, your proteins, or your DNA. That would be bad. Probably. Maybe. I don't know. Next is free range, two words with a hyphen, adjective from 1960. Allowed to range and forage with relative freedom, like the example, free range chickens, but also of relating to or produced by free range animals, as in free range eggs. So the eggs are free range because they were produced by free range chickens. But here's the thing. They are allowed to walk around. Basically, it means they're not in cages. They're free to range and forage with relative freedom. But I think a lot of times the farmers take that to mean, well, we'll just cram you in one room with a whole bunch of other free range chickens. We're not going to put you in cages, but you're still going to be in terrible living conditions, too close to all the other animals, and there's a lot of sicknesses and diseases and stuff like that. So let's look up reality of free range chickens. What does this have to say? The term free range, when applied to chickens, particularly in commercial settings, doesn't always mean the idyllic open pasture life that many envision. While it mandates outdoor access, the specifics of that access, time, space, quality of the outdoor area, are often vague and poorly regulated. This can lead to situations where free-range chickens experience overcrowding, stress, and limited opportunities to engage in natural behaviors similar to those in cage or barn systems. So, there you go. Just because it says free-range doesn't necessarily mean that they have good living conditions. So you just have to think about that when you are buying your free-range chickens or eggs. Also, you know, cows, similar situation, cows, pigs, other stuff. Now, I don't know if we call free-range horses. Do we ever use that term for horses? We don't typically eat horse meat in most places in the world, so I don't think people care to label their horses as free-range. But I also still hope that they get, what's the other term? Free range, grass fed. I think that's another term. Well, we're feeding them grass, but they're locked in cages. Anyway, just a little education for everybody on the term free range. Free read is next. Two words, noun from 1855. A reed in a musical instrument, like a harmonica, that vibrates in an air opening just large enough to allow the reed to move freely. It says compared to beating reed. A reed that is being beaten? I'm not sure. So the reed, I mean, it's got to be attached somehow, but it moves enough, so we're calling it free. It can move freely. Free reed. I got nothing else other than I'm gonna go play a harmonica. I can't play a harmonica. It sounds like a trumpet. Okay. Next is free reign. Two words. Reign here is R-E-I-N. It's not the rain falling from the sky. It is not the royalty reign with a G. I think that would be rain with a G. Or is that rain like the riding reins? I get those, this one and that one mixed up. So free reign, noun from 1952. It is unrestricted liberty of action or decision. You can do whatever you want. In those big world video games that are out there that I've never played, you have free reign to just go wherever you want to go, do whatever you want to do. Pretty cool. There's that new Mario Kart game for the Switch too. It's like Mario Kart World, something World is in the title. And can you just drive anywhere? Is that a mode of the game that you can play? That seems pretty fun. But I probably...
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
We'll never buy it. Next is free ride. Free ride. Two words, noun from 1882. This is a benefit obtained at another's expense or without the usual cost or effort. Also, soft or easy treatment. When I go to the spa, I want some soft or easy treatment when they take care of me. It's a free ride? Okay. No, but a free ride, mostly. Well, I mean, I guess this literally comes from giving somebody a free ride in your car, picking up a hitchhiker, give them a free ride. Benefit obtained. But we're talking more metaphorically. We're not talking literally about a car ride. We're just talking about a thing where if you get a free ride, you don't have to pay anything or not the same what you normally would to get that thing, whatever it is. And then, but it's also often coming at somebody else's expense. So somebody else is doing it. Somebody else has to pay for it. Somebody else has to drive the car. Not you. You get to hang out in the back and get a free ride. All right. Free ride is an intransitive verb, and free rider is a noun. Next is free safety. Noun from 1971. This is a safety in football who has no particular receiver to cover in a man-to-man defense. We are talking about the American football. They are, I don't know what the word safety means in that role, when you have the safety role in a football scrimmage. What does that mean? Why safety? But then a free safety is like, you don't have a specific person to defend against when everybody's lined up there getting ready to hit each other. So you are a free safety. You can wander around wherever you want to go, I guess. Now, this is the an man-to-man defense, a safety in football. So is this on the defense side or the offense side? I would assume that this is on the defense side because it said it's a safety in football who has no particular receiver to cover. So the receiver is the one who's going to try to receive the ball and hold it so tightly because they love it so much. So that's what I'm guessing. The free safety is on the defense side, but I don't really know because I don't care about the football. Now we have Phrygia. F-R-E-E-S-I-A. Phrygia. Noun from circa 1882. This is any of a genus, which is also called Phrygia, of sweet-scented African herbs of the iris family, with usually red, pink, white, or yellow flowers. And I shall bring up a picture so I can see what this Phrygia looks like, because I would like to see. Let's see, anything else about Phrygia? African or iris family. There you go. That's a freesia. I guess it looks like an iris. I don't really know my flowers very well. Just like I don't know about the economics, and I don't know about the free electrons and the free radicals and things. So, the freesia, we should tell you where this comes from. This is from FHT Freese, F-R-E-E-S-E. That person was a German physician who died in 1876. So I don't know how they pronounce their last name, Freese, but their initials are F-H-T and then Freese, F-H-T-F. That's one extra initial than most people. All right, freesia comes from FHT Freese, and it's in the iris family, and that's the most important thing you need to know. And it's sweet scented. Ooh, I would like to smell it. Oh, it smells so sweet. It smells like sugar. Now we have free soil, two words with a hyphen, adjective from 1846, number one. Characterized by free soil, as in free soil states. Okay, well, we are going to have another form of this word in a second. So free soil, this because this is the adjective. So free soil with a hyphen is the adjective. So you're describing the states as free soil because they have free soil. Number two would be capitalized, both the F and the S. And this is opposing the extension of slavery into U.S. territories and the admission of slave states into the Union prior to the Civil War, but specifically of relating to or being a minor U.S. political party with these aims. Okay, so what did the free soilers want to do? Yeah, we should say free soiler is a noun, and free soilism is also a noun. So what did they believe? What did the free soilers think? Opposing the extension of slavery into U.S. territories and the admission of slave states into the Union. So it basically seems like they were people who wanted the soil to be free. They didn't want the slavery states to be part of the Union. Seems like this is partly, you know, this is why we got into the Civil War. Now, were they all together? I think they were all together, and then the free soilers were like, we don't want you, southern states who have slavery. We don't want you here. So I think we should go to war for that. It's interesting that I don't ever remember learning this term in my history classes, but it's very likely that they taught it to us, and I sure as hell don't remember. Because I don't remember lots of things, but yeah, they didn't want slavery to extend into other parts, and they didn't want the slave states to be admitted into the Union. And then there was a big old war, a civil war, a war between the country itself, and then, you know, we know what happened after that, don't we? Are we gonna see another one? I sure hope not. But now, let's talk about, oh, okay, so literally, if we go back to number one, characterized by free soil, the free soil states, seems like this doesn't have anything to do with the actual soil. It's just the land that the people are living on is free or not. Because now we have free soil again. There's no hyphen here. Noun from 1827, so about 20 years before the adjective free soil. The noun is U.S. territory where prior to the Civil War, slavery was prohibited. No slavery allowed here. This soil, this land is free. This land is your land. This land is my land. From the Redwood Forests to New York. So, yeah, free soil. Pretty good idea, I think. People are free living on that soil. Now we have free speech. Two words, noun from 1781. Speech that is protected by the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The very first change that they made to the U.S. Constitution was about free speech. You can say whatever you want to say here in the United States of America. But also, the right to such speech is free speech, as in an unconstitutional restraint on free speech, and that is from the National Law Journal. They said something was an unconstitutional restraint on free speech. If you are trying to shut somebody up, that is unconstitutional. What you are doing is unconstitutional because people have the right to say what they want to say. This is an interesting topic. There's a whole lot of legal cases where people are like, this is a First Amendment thing. I should be allowed to say what I want to say. What do I want to say? I want to say that computers are taking over the world and they're becoming sentient and they're growing eyeballs and tongues. And it's very scary, but kind of funny. I mean, yeah. Okay, we're just going to move on to free spirit. Two words, noun from 1970. The synonym is the number two definition for the word nonconformist. This is somebody who does not conform to the quote-unquote normal ways that everybody else is doing things. They do not want to conform. They want to be different and unique and special. And I appreciate that. I think there were certain things in my life was like, oh, I really like this thing because nobody else liked it. But then when other people start liking it, I'm like, now I don't like that anymore. I think a lot of people are like that. We just want to be a little bit different. Nonconformist. So you are a free spirit. You are free to just do whatever you like to do and not conform to the rules of the man. Free-spirited is an adjective. I am not as free-spirited as I would like to be, I think. And I will try to be more free-spirited. I'll work on that, okay? I'll work on not conforming so much. Next is free-spoken, two words with a hyphen, adjective from 1625. It means speaking freely. The synonym is outspoken. I hear that one more than I think I hear free-spoken. If you are a free-spoken person, then you are saying whatever you want. You are using your right of free speech to speak freely. May I speak freely here? Yes, you may. Thank you very much. You smell. We have now our last word, which is, I assume it would be pronounced freest. It is spelled F-R-E-E-S-T, because it is the superlative of the word free. So the freest, who are the freest people in the world? Is it the Americans? Is it people from another country? Who is the freest of them all? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the freest of them all? I don't know. Okay, because we read all of the words, now it is time to pick a word of the episode. Today we had free marketeer, free Martin, free Mason, free masonry, free on board, free port, freer, free radical, free range, free read, free rain, free ride, free safety, freesia, free soil, free speech, free spirit, free spoken, and freest. I told you that there were a lot of free words. I mean, I think I just have to pick free speech as the word of the episode because free speech is really good. Everybody should have free speech. I don't think I should add any more to that song. That's it. That's all you get from me. Free speech is a pretty good idea. Keep it up. Keep it up, free speech. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep allowing people to say what they want to say. Do you have to agree with what they say? Nope. But if you have the right to say what you want to say, then so do they. You can say what you need. What I need to say now is I'm going to tell you about a movie that I watched. Let's bring up the list oh so quickly. Where is my list? Here we go. And I've been marking things off, so I'm so smart. Now, the next movie that I watched was The Greatest Showman, which I had never seen before. I don't know, 10 years old or something like that. It is the story of, was it P.T. Barnum? Is that who it was? Right? P.T. Barnum, I think. In the, what was it? Was he in the young, early New York City? I don't remember where he was, but he was always trying to make a living, and he ended up putting together this show of performers and unique people, and this is sort of where that like sideshow freak thing came from. And you know what I take mostly from this, which I think is the largest message from it, is the people who are different shouldn't be looked down upon and shouldn't be treated badly. You know, that's it. That's just the easiest, simplest way to say it. And there's that song that the bearded lady fronts, and I don't remember the song, but I know I've heard it many times before I even saw the movie, and it's very uplifting. That's so good. And the movie it's quite a spectacle. It's a movie about a spectacle, often done in a spectacular way. So it's pretty interesting. You know, was he the best person in the world? Probably not. Was he just trying to make a buck? Yeah, but maybe he had a heart too. And, you know, how true is the movie? Probably not incredibly true. I don't know. It's probably got the basics right, but I don't really know the true story. But, you know, other than he started in a building and people didn't like what he was doing maybe, and then he said, hey, let's go on the road. Let's have a circus. All right, well, that's all. That's enough for The Greatest Showman. That's enough for this episode. It is now time for me to go get some water and do my work day. Yay. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye. Mwah.